I shot awake to the buzzing. It was a sound I'd come to dread, a high-pitched whine that vibrated through the very foundations of my home. Not bees, not coyotes, drones. I threw off the thin sheet, my heart already hammering a frantic rhythm against my ribs. My bare feet hit the cold concrete floor. I moved fast, quiet. My husband, Mateo, was still asleep beside me, his breathing deep and even. I didn't want to wake him yet. Not until I knew for sure. I slipped into the jeans and t-shirt I'd laid out the night before. A ritual born of necessity. Every night I prepared for the dawn. Every dawn I prayed I wouldn't need to. I grabbed my rifle from the rack by the door. It felt heavy, familiar, an extension of my arm. My father had taught me to shoot when I was just a girl, out on this very land. He'd taught me to respect it, to protect it. But he never told me how to protect it from this. I crept to the living room window, pulling back the curtain just an inch. The pre-dawn light was still bruised purple and gray, but I could make out the shapes, two of them, black silhouettes against the paling sky, circling, always circling. Like vultures, but mechanical. Government eyes, my jaw tightened. They were back. They were always back. I nudged Mateo awake. Hey, they're here. He stirred, blinking, then his eyes snapped open. He knew. We always knew. He was up in an instant, grabbing his own rifle. No words were needed. We moved in sync, a practiced dance of defense. This wasn't a home anymore. It was a perimeter. I went to the back door, Mateo to the front. We checked the locks, the reinforced latches. We had installed them ourselves, after the third time the fence was cut. Not by us. Never by us. The drones were a constant, but the ground traffic was unpredictable. It was the human element that scared me the most. The desperation, the ruthlessness. We live on the border, not near it, on it, our land, generations of it, straddles the invisible line, a line that means everything to some and nothing to others. To me, it was just dirt, my dirt, until it wasn't. My great-grandparents settled this ranch when it was still Mexico. Then it was Texas. The land didn't care about flags or treaties. It just grew, or it didn't. We built our lives here. We raised our children here. We buried our dead here. Now it felt like it was burying us. I heard the distant rumble of a truck, not the usual ranch trucks. This was a heavy diesel, modified, cartel. My blood ran cold. The drones meant the government was watching. The truck meant they were moving. And my home was in the middle. I pressed my ear against the cool wood of the door. The sound grew louder, closer. It was coming down the old access road, the one that ran right past our west pasture. They used it as a shortcut, a blind spot, a place they thought no one would see them. But I saw them. I always saw them. I glanced at Mateo across the living room. His face was grim, a mirror of my own fear. His hand tightened on his rifle. We stood there, two guardians of a land that no longer felt like our own. The truck roared past, a blur of dark metal and churning dust. I heard the muffled shouts, the crunch of boots on gravel. They weren't stopping, not yet. They were just passing through. My heart didn't slow. Passing through meant leaving something behind, or taking something with them. Minutes stretched into an eternity. The drone hummed overhead, indifferent. The cartel truck faded into the distance. Silence descended again, a tense, fragile thing. Then a new sound, a rustling in the dense mesquite brush, closer than the truck. Too close. My breath hitched. Did you hear that? I whispered to Mateo. He nodded, his eyes scanning the windows, the walls. He'd heard it. We both knew. It wasn't an animal. I moved slowly, deliberately, towards the side window that overlooked the brush. I peered out, my rifle raised. The sun was just peeking over the horizon now, painting the sky in fiery oranges and purples. Beautiful. Deadly. I saw him. A young man, probably just a boy, really. He was hunched over, clutching his side. Blood bloomed dark on his t-shirt. His eyes were wide with fear, desperation. He wasn't cartel, he was a migrant. He looked up, met my gaze. His eyes pleaded. He was injured, alone, exhausted. My training, my instincts, screamed at me to stay inside, to protect my family, to call Border Patrol. That's what they told us to do. That's what the government wanted. But I looked at him, really looked. He was someone's son, someone's brother. He wasn't a threat, not to me. He was just trying to survive. The drone still hummed overhead, a mechanical eye watching. The cartel truck was gone, but they could always come back. I was caught between the law, the criminals, and my own conscience. Mateo came up beside me. He saw the boy too. His face softened, then hardened. He knew the risks. We both did. Offering help could mean a fine, or worse, accusations of aiding and abetting. It could mean cartel retaliation if they thought we were interfering with their product. But leaving him there, to bleed out, to be caught by the desert, or something worse. I made my decision. It wasn't a legal one. It wasn't a logical one. It was a human one. "He's hurt," I said, my voice barely a whisper. "We have to help him." Mateo looked at me, then at the boy. He sighed, a heavy, resigned sound. He nodded. I knew this choice was a gamble. It put us at risk. It blurred the lines even further, between right and wrong, between citizen and humanitarian. But looking at that boy, bleeding on my land, I knew I couldn't turn away. Not yet. I put down my rifle. I opened the door. The drone continued to hum. My family's land, once a sanctuary, now felt like a cage, and I had just opened the door.